When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome out, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and listen. I've missed you guys. I've been taking some time off, but we're back. We're ready to get into it. And I'm going to start off by talking about how to deal with situations of crisis, how to manage those situations that are very stressful, how to keep some grace under pressure, how to develop that, really. And also, too, this is going to apply to people that are dealing with something specific that was big and, you know, traumatic. It's a thing where when you say, what's going on with your life, you can point to that. And it's like, oh, yeah, that thing did mess you up. I also want to talk to the people who just live in a state of crisis and everything's always on fire. And it's just one thing after another and they can't seem to get ahead. And I'm just going to tell you now, if you are easily offended, this is probably not the show for you, because I like to be as honest as I can. And I certainly don't know everything, but one thing I've learned is that it doesn't help people to, what's the word, make them feel, I don't, just to make them feel better about their situation. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. I don't want to condemn anybody. And if you're truly hurting from something, I don't want to make you feel worse about it. That being said, I would like to challenge you to look at things differently. I'd like to challenge you to consider that, yes, bad things happen, but maybe there are certain things you can do to mitigate their effects. And that at some point, yes, it can be painful, it can be traumatic, it can be disruptive. However, you can choose to not let that become a scar. You can choose to not let that be something that binds you forever. And I certainly deal with this, right? I'm not perfect. I'm speaking from a place of realizing that I have let a lot of specific things like tie me down, like emotionally. Like there's things that have held me back and have weighed on me and have corrupted my heart to some extent. And it took me a long time to start to see these things. And I would just challenge you to think that maybe it doesn't have to stay that way, because certainly wasn't the case for me. Certainly isn't the case for a lot of other people. So I want to talk about a few things here. We've got some bullet points. We're going to go old school, just the way I used to do things, just kind of talk and process as I go, see what happens. The first one is to reduce chaos. So if you are in a stressful situation, there's a lot going on, you need to kind of quickly prune away anything that is not going to produce meaningful results. So there's certain things that you can focus on that you can actually change, that you can actually do something about, and that the result of those actions would be meaningful. It would matter. It would make a difference for you, right? Because we can all find busy work to do. There's things that you can do to keep yourself occupied and to take your mind off of things. But what you really want is to make as much of an impact with the least amount of effort possible. Not out of laziness, just out of the fact that we have a finite amount of energy to bring to the table. There's only so much that we can deal with at once. And when you're in a state of stress, just the changes that happen in your body, it puts you on edge, okay? And so to reduce chaos, that means external and internal. So it means being aware of your thoughts. It means understanding that your tendency, just your natural biological trend, is to focus on the negative. Your brain does this because it wants to protect you. But it wastes a huge amount of energy, because if you're stressed out and you start thinking stressful thoughts, your body doesn't know that those are thoughts. It responds to those thoughts as if they're real. We talk about this a lot. I probably don't have to go over it again. But if you're new here and you don't believe me, try thinking about something that really irritates you and watch how your body changes to it. Think about something that makes you really sad and watch how your body changes. Like it gets a hold of you, right? And you think, oh, yeah, cool. But you do this all the time. At least I do. I don't know. I feel like people do. I think it seems like people do. I definitely caught myself. I was having issues with my stomach for the longest time. Like, what's going on here? Why does this hurt so much? And I eventually realized every like 30 seconds or so, I was having these anxious thoughts and I was getting a small adrenaline rush all day that disrupts your digestive system. It disrupts a lot of things in your body. It stresses you out because your body's preparing for danger. Now, if you're already in danger, you're already stressed. You don't need more of that. So you have to be really firm with yourself and say, okay, look, I want to spiral here. I have to make the intentional choice rationally to put my focus on something. Now that's the key thing there. Because if you just say, I'm just not going to freak out, you're probably going to freak out because you don't have anything to hold on to. You're going to focus on something. And if you don't decide what that's going to be, your brain's going to decide, and it's going to decide on a lot of things, and it's going to act from an emotional place, which is these little bursts of different emotions, these different feelings, these different sensations that come up. This one's fear, this one's anger, this one's sadness, this one's whatever, this one's depression, right? And you go back and forth, and whichever one happens to be the strongest just grabs your attention, and they kind of lead into each other, right? But that doesn't accomplish anything. And so you have to make a decision to say, there's a lot going on in my head. There's a lot going on in the world around me. What do I choose to put my focus on? And then commit to that. And not to beat yourself up when you mess up, because you will, but to just guide yourself back to, okay, I got distracted. Let's recenter ourselves. Let's refocus. I don't need to finish that thought that I was having. I don't need to follow that down to its all of its possible conclusions. Yeah, I know that situation could get worse and there's a million things that could happen, but I'm not going to stress myself out wondering what if, because you can do that forever and nothing gets done. And the thing is, you're not going through that. You know, you need to learn to solve the problems that are right in front of you. That doesn't mean that you don't exercise foresight. It does mean that you don't indulge in fantasizing, because when you start to do that, it goes all over the place and you get sucked into all these potential scenarios, most of which will never happen. One of them might, okay? But if you're sitting down logically planning through something and it's kind of emotionless and you're just kind of going through steps, what do I do if this happens? What do I do if that happens? What are my resources? What are some backup plans? That's fine. But if you're sitting in your bed in the middle of the night going through this, it's not healthy and it's not productive. And it feels like it is. That's what gets people. It's like, it feels like if I don't figure this out, then something bad will happen, because you think that you're going through it at the time. And so if you were in that situation, yeah, you do need to figure it out. But you also need to learn to just to let things go and to trust yourself in the future to say, I am intelligent enough to solve this as I go. I don't need to think about solving the entire world's problems right now. I can do this step by step. Okay. The other thing too is just external chaos. So, you know, if there's a situation where there's just a lot going on and you have to learn to prioritize the things that are actually within your control and are actually going to matter. If there's a bunch of people yelling and screaming over here, it's like, okay, cool. I'm just going to tune that out. Right. And oh, well, they're offended with me. Right. So even in a small situation, like you're at work and your computer system goes down and you got customers and your boss is over here and like everybody's kind of angry and stressed out, people are arguing, it's like, okay, well, I can't do anything about that. They're just going to be upset. Like, I need to fix this problem. I need to solve this issue right now. Otherwise something bad could happen. So I just choose to say I'm eliminating distractions. I have to decide between giving my attention to these people or giving my attention to the solution. Okay, so I'm going to ignore them. Right. I'm not saying go around and ignore everybody that you don't like, but just for sake of example, I hope that you exercise some wisdom and discretion in how you use my analogies. I'm apparently not good at making up metaphors. Okay. So the next part is to avoid. This is much easier said than done, but avoid making emotional decisions. And I know how that sounds. It's like, oh, well, that's, yeah, of course, just. Yeah. But seriously, when it comes down to, so you got to think that emotions are a lens that color your entire thought process. So if you're depressed, right, and you just feel really depressed, it feels like nothing's ever going to get better. You feel hopeless. You feel sad. You feel empty. And you can think further into the future. You can think 20, 30 years ahead and say, okay, well, one day I'm going to be in this situation. I want to be living in that house. I won't have that, be going paycheck to paycheck. I'll have my family. I'll have whatever, right? I'll have my career figured out. I'll have hobbies that I like. My family situation will be, you know, straightened out. I'll have better mental health, but I'll still be sad. I'll still be depressed. Like, it feels that way, right? That's why people struggle with things like depression so much, because it doesn't feel like anything's going to get better, even if the situation changes, which is really just not true. I mean, you can stay depressed despite good circumstances, but to think that you will never feel different, that's a lie. Right. So when you're angry at somebody and you think, I am going to text them exactly what I think. And then you come back, you leave the text unsent. You come back to it later. Like, oh, yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that. Or maybe you did send it. And you're like, why? I don't feel that way anymore. This applies to other things as well. We've all made bad decisions based off of emotion. So when it comes down to making life decisions, it's very valuable to learn to just say, you know, you don't always have this ability, but when you can, just say, listen, like, I need some more time because I need to think this through in different states, right? Different emotional states. I'm angry right now. Let me sleep on it. Let me think about this tomorrow too, when I'm like kind of got some of that out, when I'm maybe sad or maybe just not in a bad mood anymore, or after I've eaten. That's a big one. Go eat. If you need to make a big decision, take a nap and eat some chips or something. I don't know. I should probably recommend like a healthy snack, but no, it's just, you kind of know what I mean when I say emotional decisions. The problem is that when you make emotional decisions, you tend to throw fuel on the fire. So you just stack up these things that progressively get worse and worse. And so when you live in a chaotic state all the time and everything's just on fire, and it's like, okay, I'm really mad right now. So you snap at somebody, right? And then I'm really scared about this bill, so I'm going to go pay it. And it's like, well, actually, that wasn't the bill I should have paid. Or you start just frantically running around, or you start making this like long-term decisions based off of a short-term emotion. And when that short-term emotion fizzles out, then you're stuck with either having to go back on something, and which is also stressful, and you're making things worse on yourself, or you have to commit to something that you shouldn't have done. So just learning to have some discretion, and this isn't rocket science. This isn't like some crazy breakthrough and you could probably like, this is all he got. But the thing is that people don't do it. It's so simple. Oh, it's just basic. Like, you need the basics. I'm sorry. If you're not doing this, you're not doing it. You don't get to graduate to the next level until you've mastered the first steps. That's it. You have to learn. I was like, if you live in a state of confusion, if you live in a state of chaos, or if when bad things happen to you, you start making emotional decisions, you start like giving into the chaos and just going with it. It's like, okay, cool. You've got to learn to fix that before you do anything else. Now, one tactic for this, this is a saying that I don't know where the saying came from, but we definitely use it a lot in the military, was slow is smooth, smooth is fast. So if you can learn to just take a step back and slow down a little bit, oh, that's so simple, but do you do it? Oh, but I've got all these things going on. Okay, take a breath. Approach things from a more calm and centered state of mind. Approach things from the sense that I don't have to do it all immediately, but if I just do it well, everything will work out. Oh, I need this problem solved today. Okay. But if I can solve it correctly tomorrow, will that still be okay? In the grand scheme of things, probably. No, the deadline is tomorrow. Okay. Here's a learning moment. Don't wait till the last day. Still, you still have to take a step back and allow yourself to kind of de-escalate those negative emotions. If you are running from one situation to the next, one thing to the next, just stressed out, just worked up, and you're trying to solve your problems from that place, not going to work. Not long term. You'll make short-term decisions. You'll cut corners. You'll do things that to survive, because you're living in survival mode. And sometimes that's just where you're at. Like sometimes there's genuinely things going on and that's where you're at. But your goal should always be to plant the seeds of future success in those times. So it's like, yes, today I know that I'm hitting my credit a little bit, or maybe I'm putting a bit of a strain on this relationship, or maybe I'm taxing my body a little bit too much with how much I'm working. If your plan is just to like white knuckle your way through it, seasons will change, but you can do a lot of damage to your future potential. And that doesn't mean you can't fix it. But if you have, if you kind of just give up and go through it, we all have limits, but you should make every effort to have a sense of, okay, I know I don't have any money right now. Even if it's only $10, I'm still going to put savings aside every month. I'm still going to take 10 bucks out of this check. I'm still going to take $5 out. I don't care. And I'm not going to spend it. Not going to spend it. Because I'm going to keep the habit of saving. That way, when things are slightly less bad, I have a little bit more to fall back on. I have a little bit more of a safety net. When, you know, if there is a real emergency, I still have been planting these seeds. Same thing with like fitness. Like, oh, I'm stressed out. I'm super busy. I'm just not going to work out. I'm just not going to be healthy. It's like, okay, well, in 6 months, you're not going to have any energy and you're not going to be as productive. I get it that sometimes you really don't have time, but you have 10 minutes. And I promise you, you can get a good workout in 10 minutes if you want to. Okay. And if that's what you have to do, you have to do. Slow down a little bit. If you are in a state of stress right now, take a step back and just logically look at things. Just tell yourself, and I don't know, it's like snap out of it, but like really snap out of it. Take a step back. You're not going to fix all your problems right now. Start to organize things, put them down on paper. Say, look, I've been running around trying to figure out my entire life in my head and it's not working. Okay, let's put it down on paper and see what happens. Oh, look at that. It's super ambiguous. I can't really define any of these problems. Or when I do, they're not very well articulated. It's not well written. It's not like, oh yeah, bullet point, boom, boom, boom. It's not well expressed. I have to really work at this a little bit. And I kind of know what it is. Like I'm angry or I'm sad or this person hurt me or that situation, right? But it doesn't just like come out smoothly. It's kind of, what's the word? It's just messy. The thing is, that's what's going on in your head. If you can't express it that well, if it's not articulated on paper, then it's not articulated inside of you. And you mistake the feeling of familiarity with the emotions that those thoughts and ideas evoke. You mistake that for understanding and for clarity. It's like, oh, I know how I feel. Do you? Do you know why you feel that way? So take a step back, write these things down, work through them. Oh, I hate writing things down. Yeah, me too. I really do. I love writing. I consider myself a writer. I hate working through things on paper. But you know what? That's actually the best way to do it. Because when I can sit down and just stream of consciousness, just put some things down. Okay, that doesn't make sense. But I'm starting to get around a problem. Well, I don't know how to define it. Okay, I'm going to write about how I don't know how to define this. Until it starts to become clear, until it starts to form a little bit and something solid, something that I can actually use. It's a very powerful technique. And you might say, well, I talk about it a lot. Yeah, you can talk about things that upset you all day long. You can gossip about things that you don't like all day long. I was with some friends recently and we're supposed to be talking about spiritual warfare. And I was kind of quiet at first, and I'm watching the conversation go from these are things that I struggle with to like complaining about like, yeah, this world sucks. Like, look at all the stuff that's up against us. Look at all the things that are hindering our spiritual growth. And it's like, everything's just trying to drag us down. And I was kind of like watching this unfold. Like, do you understand that this isn't productive? Like you're spiraling. And without somebody there to correct you and keep you on course and say, like, and you need somebody with like real focus, somebody that is actually paying attention. Without that somebody like that there, it's very easy to get off track. And when we hide things in our head and we don't express them out loud, it's easy for us to fool ourselves into believing that we have it a lot more together than we really do. And inside we're drowning and we're in the middle of this chaos. And I want to help you alleviate some of that chaos. I want to help you get rid of some of that, because there's going to be healing in that. The less you carry, the less of a burden that you bear, the more emotional space that you have, and the more of that energy you can start putting towards developing solutions and just being filled with life again. I mean, that really is what it comes down to a lot. It's like, if you're constantly giving all of your energy to stress, to the things that the world throws at you, and you're just reacting all the time, you don't have the energy to grow. You don't have the energy to rest. You don't have the energy to develop and find freedom. And so you end up just like, you work to live and you live to work. And well, we're caught up, we're still behind, but we got this month taken care of. Oh, what's next? And you live in this state of very negative thinking. This is a very self-defeated type of approach here. Okay, so next up is be adaptable. Simple, right? Like I made a Twitter post with these. And as bullet points, I feel like they're very practical. Like, just be adaptable. Understand that times are going to change. Hey, I normally do things this way. This is my routine. I go to the gym at this time. You know what? Today, there's some crazy stuff going on. I'm going to learn how to work out at home. I'm going to do something different. Hey, normally, I communicate in this way. But right now, during this particular time, I have to learn to speak to people differently, because what normally works is not working. And the thing is that when you start to make it a point, I don't think that I really have to hit on this too hard. There's things you know you need to adapt to. There's situations that, as I'm saying, learn to be adaptable, you're going, that thing. I'm just going to listen. Yeah. What were you saying? It's like, you don't want to focus on it. You don't want to deal with it. You already know what it is. Okay. So learn to approach and say, like, what are some different ways that I can come at this problem? What is a new solution? What is something, how can I tackle this effectively in a way that I haven't tried before? Start like working through the problem. Like, what likely is holding me back? What it specifically is not working? What are some ideas that could potentially turn things around for me? What am I willing to do? That's a big one. If you try to say like, well, what should it be? What should I do? I'm going to suddenly be a totally different person. I'm just going to be completely different. I've been living paycheck to paycheck. I'm always stressed out. Nobody seems to like me. I'm not in good shape. I'm still dealing with trauma from the last few years, and I'm dealing with like these crazy like residual mental health issues. And I don't know what to do. I have a solution. I'm going to start waking up at 4 a.m., taking cold showers and journaling while I listen to an audiobook after I work out and for 2 hours, and do like every crazy workout trend under the sun. And then I'm going to start a business before I even go to work every day. No, you're not. Just stop. Like, you're not going to do that. You need to find like what's an actionable step, something that I can realistically do that I'm willing to take on. Am I willing to start working out? Am I willing to start committing to saying, you know what? I've got a lot of crazy thoughts going on. When I notice that I'm having them, I'm just not going to deal with them. When I notice that I start to get angry with people, I'm going to choose to respond differently. I'm going to say, my life is not what it should be. Perhaps a different approach might produce different results. It's a weird thought, but we don't do it. And again, it's like, this isn't anything new. A lot of what I talk about isn't anything new. But the culture that we have these days is, especially with like influencers, they come up with the dumbest things. Like I got off social media, and I'm so happy I did. I feel so much better, guys. I really do. That's one of the things that happened while I was away. I stopped. Like, I'm not on social media. I don't scroll. Like, it's amazing. I was so tired. I was just like, here, these videos that pop up and these random people. And I'm like, they're all overly excited and trying to get your attention. And they're saying like these these emotion provoking things and asking these random questions. It's like when you walk, when you walk through like a mall or something, I don't know. It's worse like overseas, but I mean, it definitely happens in America, but like you have salespeople everywhere and they're like trying to grab you and like, hey, look at this thing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, leave me alone. And the next person, ah, look at this, blah, 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 I'll give you a good deal. And it's like, I don't want it. Like, leave me alone. And they get annoying and they get kind of persistent about it. I feel like that's how all of social media is. People are just so desperate for attention and they kind of start to hone in on like the videos that are doing well, do this, that, and the other. Let me do that. And they start to just perform. And I just see people, they're such clowns. I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but it irks me. It's cringe. As the kids are saying these days, it's weird. I don't like it. It's like, you're not acting like a person. You're not acting like a human. I'm strange. I'm weird, but this is how I act. This is me, right? Like in a social setting, I may be a little bit like more relaxed. Like I hear I'm trying to articulate thoughts and teach you guys, but this is pretty much my personality. You know, it's not the full range of my personality, but this is real and authentic. And I just feel like people, they get sucked into this system and they just become these dancing monkeys. Like I said, they just fall into the mold. And you know, when you do that, you sell your soul because you don't have the ability to do anything else because you're terrified that you won't get attention. And the reality is that that's what we do with our personalities. And I talked about this recently on my other podcast, and we were talking about, I think we were talking about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. I think that's what the episode it was. But I was talking about how there's things that we don't want to give up about ourselves. There's things, and in this context, we don't want to adapt in certain ways, right? So a good example of this, a very real example of this, is something I went through, is that I always kind of identified as a person that can make other people laugh. That was just my thing. And I was not funny growing up. I didn't figure out how to make people laugh until I was a little bit older, but I wanted to so badly. And so when I started to like hit my stride and like, I got a sense of humor down. I know how I can get a laugh. I know how I can like, you know, test the waters a little bit. And I understand what I'm doing. And I understand it a bit. I was so happy. I was like, okay, cool. I can be funny. I can make people laugh pretty much anywhere that I go. And one thing that I realized at some point is, well, that's not actually necessarily a good thing. Like it is, it's not wrong per se, but I was getting really frustrated with certain people. And to be fair, these people were an extreme, but people that just wouldn't take me seriously, or at least not as seriously as I wanted to be taken. And so I'm in a business context, I'm in a sales context, I'm in a leadership context. I'm trying to have a real conversation with people. And they're just like, and it's on their end, right? Like, it's not that I'm totally to blame here, but they were just like, still wanted to joke. Like, oh yeah, they weren't saying, yeah, that's the funny guy, don't listen to him. But that's kind of like the situation. I was like, okay, well, I have a job to do. I have things that I want accomplished. I'm on a mission. I'm not here to joke around. Like, I enjoy joking around. I make people laugh. I don't want to be like super strict and hate fun, but like, I'm this is serious business. Like, let's get to work. And people just couldn't get past that. Now, again, that was a lot of that was on their end. Okay. But it showed me that there was a certain perception that was created in people, even people that with more mature like social skills, that when I set the tone that I was the person that was always making jokes, it wasn't quite what I wanted. Right. It doesn't mean that I don't want to make people laugh. It just means that I realize that where I'm going and what I'm doing, that's not the best like character to play. And that made me think like, okay, well, how much of that is authentic? Like, cause I obviously am playing a role here. So if I get past that, if I get beneath that, if I'm willing to sacrifice something, if I'm willing to change a little bit, to adapt a little bit, what would that look like? And it hit me. How many of the things that we consider our personality, our disposition, the way that we are things that we just learn from the world? And that's not a new thought, but when it really hits you, you kind of have to take a step back and go, well, if I if I got it from something in this world, is it productive? Does it have my best intention at heart? And even if it does, did I get it from somebody that's worth emulating, that's worth looking up to? And so you've really just got to learn to understand that if your life looks a certain way and you don't want it to look that way anymore, you may have to adapt things that you can, that you're so closely identified with that you feel like it's you. And to learn to release those things, it's so hard. It's painful. It really is. But how many people do you know, and maybe this is you, where you know that you have a bad habit and you know that it's causing issues, and you or them, whoever is in the situation, is like, well, that's just who I am. Yeah, no, I shouldn't smoke. I just do it though. Yeah, I should work out, but I just don't. I'm just not into that. Yeah, I should work on healing what I've been through, but I'm just traumatized. It's just, I'm stuck with it. And sometimes you get in this self-defeated mindset where it's like, you don't want to believe that, but you kind of feel like you're stuck there. Like, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to feel like I can't trust people, but I've been hurt so bad. It's like, I wish I could, but I just can't. That's a little bit different. That's from a state of, okay, but would you be willing to, if you were given new information, if you were given a new path to take, would you be open to it? Would you try, right? Would you take the first step at least and see where it led? And if you're not willing to take the first step, then I can't help you. But if you're willing to say, I don't see the end of the road, I don't really know how it's going to work out, and I'm not confident that I can be healed, but maybe it's possible, I'm willing to see. Not going to give you all my trust, but I'll give you like 1%. Right? I'll let you earn the other 99. We'll see what happens. That's a different situation, right? And so to take inventory of the things that have gotten you to where you are today, and to work through and figure out, is that me? Like, do I need that sense of humor? I know that my temper is a problem. Could I fix that? No, that's just who I am. Okay, well, I can't help you then. You say, well, I really, really struggle with that. But yeah, it does cause problems. I would like to not be seen as an angry person. I would like for the reaction I cause in people to not be fear and annoyance and agitation when I come in the room. I would like for people to want me around. I just don't know how to get there. Okay, cool. Once you have the mindset that, well, I don't really see the end of the road, but I can change. I can adapt. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to get into it. That will change your life. Okay. Oh, lost my thread. Where are we at? Cultivate solution-oriented thinking. So back to that example I was talking about earlier, where they were not belly aching, but kind of just like depressed, like, oh yeah, and the so many bad people in the world and the economy and this, that, and the other, and you try to do this, but then that happens. So it's not productive, obviously, but we do it constantly. And we do it in our heads a lot. We imagine situations that could go wrong, and then we stress ourselves out living through it. So you have to develop this habit of asking yourself, is this something that is going to produce an actionable step? Okay. I'm arguing with my girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever, and they're making me mad. And I'm sitting here thinking about how angry I'm getting, thinking about how frustrated I am. I can't believe she did that. She's probably talking to somebody else. I bet the reason that this happened was because she was doing that, and on and on and on. Versus, okay, she's upset me. What is she saying? What is the likely source of that? What else do I know about her that I can bring into this and say, okay, well, she seems really upset about something that doesn't matter. Can I match this up with something in the past, right? Like, hey, she snapped at me and it doesn't make any sense. Is there maybe a reason that she's lashing out? Okay, maybe you can't figure that part out, right? But you see what I'm saying, right? Like, you're working through solutions. You're working through what is the actual solution here? And I know, ladies, you're going, well, I just want him to listen to me. Stop trying to fix my problems. But I'm using this as probably a poor example, but I am trying to use this as an example. If I'm sitting here just meditating on how angry you make me, that's not productive. But if I turn that and say, okay, what is the best thing I can do in this situation? What is the most logical way to approach this conversation? Maybe I'm really angry right now, so the best thing to do is to take a step back, right? To not make any emotional decisions, to put it off a little bit, right? Not to avoid it, but just to like get some space. And maybe I don't have a lot of time. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to choose to not sit here and stew in my frustration and in the things that bother me. You got something going on with your business, and it's like, I'm stressed out all the time. I can't get leads. People just keep returning my products, and I can't seem to close any deals, and I'm dealing with this issue with my employee. Okay, cool. But how do we break this down into like a systematic approach? How do we start to eliminate chaos and say, okay, are there certain places that we can begin to cut away and trim the fat? Are there certain things where I can realize, hey, look, this is important, but it's not as important as these other things. And until we get this all figured out, we've got to just kind of push it to the side, right? Or do you sit there and just spiral? That's all I'm getting at. Don't spiral. I feel like I made somebody mad with that approach or relationship argument. Logically, I definitely upset somebody. That's okay. This one's going to upset somebody. Patterns are your fault. So if this is, if constantly it's like, hey, if you total your car, that sucks. Accidents happen. If you total all of your cars, I was talking to a friend who was explaining how he had, I hope he doesn't hear this. If he does, I love you, buddy. But he was talking about how he had like 7 or 8 different types of tickets on the same road. But it was like, it wasn't the same stretch of road. So it was like 7 different cops. And it was like, it was different things, but he got all these tickets. And like some of them were speeding. I think a few of them were speeding, but there were other things too. And we're all kind of looking at each other as he's telling the story. And like, he doesn't get it. He's just like, yeah, it's crazy. That whole road is just wild. It's like all these different cops. And it's like, I don't get it. Like I was in different cars and everything. And we're just kind of like looking at each other. Like, is he serious? Right. Love him to death. Love you, buddy. But we all know people like that. And we are all people like that. There's things that we just keep getting ourselves into. Like, if I'm being honest, relationships. One of those things, man, all my exes are crazy. It's like at some point you got to say, well, either I'm choosing badly or I'm driving them crazy. And it's probably a combination. Probably I like to think it's the first one, because I feel like if I'm driving people crazy, that's not much I can do. Because that's a pretty fundamental personality shift that has to happen. It's the first one. It's definitely the first one. But the point being, like, if you have always been living paycheck to paycheck your whole life, hey, times are tough. Things are difficult. I know of people, and I had a situation to get through. I had several situations to get through where finances were super tight, and I had like real expenses, and I had other people counting on me, and it was hard, and it took me time to work out of that hole and to get on solid ground, but I've done it repeatedly. And it's not because I'm lucky. It's because I kind of understand how money works, at least in the personal finance context, right? And the thing is that anybody can learn this. All of this, I'm not going to get into it today. Maybe I will at some point, but you can get online and research this. You can learn very simple things that will make a tremendous difference. A lot of it just comes down to your habits. A lot of it comes down to the choices that you make. You don't have to be a financial genius. You don't have to have a math degree. You don't have to be able to do math. You got a calculator. I mean, like... You need to be able to add and subtract. That's about it. And you don't even need to understand how to add and subtract. Just know that you hit the plus and the minus and do it at the right point. You'll be good. So what I'm saying is, like, it's 2024. If you're still upset about 2020 and you didn't lose like $1 million business startup that you had put all your money in and go bankrupt, and like you're just like a normal person and you just aren't good with money, sorry, but you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't benefit you for me to say that it's the government's fault, because it's not. Well, it's because of that thing that happened. Like, it's not, right? You can learn how to fix this. And if you say, well, money is a big source of trouble for me, it's like, okay, what have you done to fix that? What have you done to educate yourself? Relationships, huge source of stress for me. But I have to be honest with myself. What have I done to educate myself? What have I done to change things? What have I done to heal? Okay. And at this point, I can point to a lot of things. I've grown a lot. I've made an intentional choice to not do that anymore. And my life is much less stressful. Shockingly, it's weird how that works. So maybe it's not money, maybe it's not finances or finances or relationships, whatever. Maybe it's health. Now, again, if you like get a bad diagnosis, like something that is out of your control, that happens 100%. I'm not sitting here hating on people that like, you got cancer and you're just gonna accept it. Like, I'm not saying that. Please don't think I'm saying that. But again, it comes back to, what can I do? It's like, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to the gym and take enough cold showers to just make it go away, right? You can try, but I feel so conflicted for people that I know personally that have like diabetes, for example. It's like, it's a hard thing to deal with. Like, it's really rough. And I'm like, but you haven't changed the things that got you there. It's like, oh, it's genetics. Like, partially. But lifestyle plays into that too. Or, you know, there's any number of things. Like, I do know people that have real illnesses, but it's like, but the rest of your life, even if you didn't have that illness, you would not be healthy. So I do feel real genuine sympathy for you. Like, I do feel bad for you, but I also just want to be like, shake you a little bit and say, okay, look, make it as good as you can. When it comes down to things that are repeatedly having a negative impact on your life, you've got to just recognize the fact that you're the common denominator and move on and find solutions to develop solution-oriented thinking. We just talked about that. Okay, we're almost done. Don't expect things to get better on their own, because they won't. Oh yeah, I just got to keep paying these bills and one day it'll be better. Cool. What's your plan? What's your budget? How much are you saving every month? Oh, I'm not doing that. Never going to get better. Guarantee it. Oh, well, I'll pay this car off eventually and then I'll have that extra money. No, you won't. You're going to spend it on something else. One day I'll start going to the gym. No, you won't. Today is one day. This is a day. This is a great day. Start now. Do it immediately. Because, well, I'll feel better. I'll feel healthier. I'll sleep better when? Probably not. Because the truth is that life is going to throw a lot of stuff at you. And more things are going to come down the pipeline. More things are going to hit you. It's not going to just end. It's not just going to go away. You have to carve out a sanctuary for yourself. You have to carve out a shelter. You have to build a fortress. Okay. And that doesn't have to be anything super dramatic, but it's like, it looks like taking care of yourself. It looks like saving money and having a safety net there. It looks like prioritizing relationships in your life so that when things do get bad, you're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not turning to people on TikTok or OnlyFans for support. You have real people there to help you, that care about you. You put attention on your creator, because nobody else is going to care about you as much as God. You put your attention on taking care of yourself, your health, your energy, right? Not saying you have to be running the Spartan race every week or going on marathons, but like, you have a habit of being healthy, right? It's going to make a huge difference. You have a habit of not eating a certain way, of having discipline over your food intake. Okay. Education. Hey, one day I'll know more about this. Not if you don't pursue knowledge, not if you don't pursue learning. You have to develop that growth mindset. If you don't start with it, if you don't say, well, I'm going to prioritize the things that matter, you're not going to do it one day. That can look like healing too. It can look like, hey, I'm super depressed. I'm super anxious. I have ADHD. I have OCD. bipolar, whatever it is, one day it'll be better. Maybe, well, I have this addiction. One day it'll go away. It might, after it's run its course and destroyed your soul. Like, is that how you want, like, do you think this is just going to let you go? Right? Like, it takes over. It has its own agenda, right? It takes hold of you and it changes the course of your life to suit its function, to suit its desires and its needs. So you don't want to be at the mercy of those things. You want to have some autonomy. You want to be able to look at your, like, unconscious burdens and say, that's bad for me. I'm going to find a way to deal with it. I'm going to find a way to heal from it. I'm going to find a way to let it go. I'm going to find a way to move on from it. I'm going to find new directions to point my energy towards, things that are more productive. And I don't mean traveling, because that's fulfilling. I don't mean throwing yourself into work. I mean refocusing the streams of your psychological, spiritual energy towards growth instead of destruction. Self-destruction specifically. Okay. Again, it's like so easily said, but a little bit harder to do. And I feel like I know like a lot of women listen to this, and I feel like I'm just like giving them the most like masculine answers possible. I'm sorry. The next one is be emotionally resilient. Just do it. Just be tough. That's it. Gotcha. But no, seriously, like, there's going to be an endless number of things to hurt your feelings. And I mean that in the sense of people hurting your feelings, but also just stuff not working out, right? Like, you have dreams, you have hopes for the future, and you want things to go a certain way, and they don't. And that can be really disheartening, and it's stressful, and it's discouraging. But you have to learn to, you know, one, adapt, realize, hey, look, I thought I was going to be in a certain place at this time in my life, but I didn't know what I was going to come up against on the way. So it's not fair to say, well, hey, when I was 20, I said I wanted to be a millionaire by 30. It's not fair to say, well, I'm not there, so I'm a failure, and that's going to hurt me. Because you learn so much during that time. Maybe you realize, actually, that's not super important. Like, money is nice and I like to have it, but it's not worth sacrificing other things. Okay. And maybe I've realized that the pathway to get there, and it's like such an arbitrary goal. Like, what is a million? Like, what if I make six figures versus a million? What is the difference in my lifestyle? Oh, I want to do the things that influencers do. Oh, that's a great way to base your life. No, you don't understand. I want to live at the highest level. I want to be free. Okay. Is your heart free? Or are you constantly striving after things that other people tell you should want? Because freedom doesn't look like, oh, I can go travel whenever I want. Freedom is, I walk into a room and people's spirits are lifted because I'm so full of love and life, and I'm not burdened by crippling fears and anxiety. I'm not so self-centered and so focused on how people perceive me that I'm just like, I give them my attention, and I have joy in my heart, and I have a certain centeredness that allows me to give good advice and to be present, to be around them and to be a good friend. And since I'm not so focused on myself, I actually care about people and they feel that, and I make friends and people like me, and you know what? It's better for them. Right? Freedom is, hey, I don't want to struggle with my past, so I don't. I let it go. Well, that's easier said than done. Yeah, it is. I would rather be free from depression forever than have all the money in the world, promise you. And nobody who has all the money in the world struggles with depression would disagree with me. Very confident in that. I would rather be free from anxiety, not fear in the sense of like a fear response, not anxiety in the sense that, like, hey, this is important, I need to go do it. Not a sense of urgency, but anxiety as like a problem. I would much rather be free of that than have the aesthetic lifestyle that people pursue. 100%, without a doubt. That's what freedom looks like. And I'm not saying that money doesn't matter. I'm not saying your career doesn't matter. I'm saying that the world's going to throw things at you. And it's going to tell you that you need these things. It's going to tell you that this is what success looks like. This is what fun it looks like. This is what you need to be fulfilled. This is my philosophy. And it's like, okay, I want to be free from your influence. I want to decide what I want. I want to listen to God. I want to respond appropriately, not based out of my selfishness, not based out of my fear of missing out, not based out of my anxiety, not based out of my my negative self-image, not based out of, you know, passions that are going to just lead me down the wrong path anyway. It's like, oh, I really want money so people will like me. It's like, okay, I want freedom from that. I want to develop the emotional resilience that when the storms of life start beating me down, it doesn't hold me there. Like, oh, that was rough. Last year was rough. You know, 2022 was painful. 2023 was stressful. 2024 is peaceful. Because I'm not in that season anymore. I'm not going through those things anymore. So I'm able to rebound quickly. I'm able to pop back up. I'm able to say, yeah, that sucked, but I'm moving on now. I don't have to stay a prisoner of a thought that produces an emotional reaction, a memory that isn't even totally accurate that's haunting me. I don't want to be a slave to that. I don't want to be bound by that. I want to develop the resilience that I can choose to say, yes, this happened. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to process it. I'm going to manage it. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again to the best of my abilities, but I'm not going to live with it. I'm not going to sit with it. I'm not going to be a slave to it. I'm not going to be bound by it. I'm not going to let it torment me. The last one is rest. I'll be honest. This is the one I struggle with the most. Rest is so hard for me. And it sounds like kind of silly to say, it's hard when you are especially when you're in like a survival state, to just make your mind be still. It's like, it's the hardest thing. It's so difficult. Right. And I got to tell you one thing that happened end of last year, people were telling me, it's like, you need to start taking honoring the Sabbath. You need to start taking that day off and resting. I was like, I can't do that. I can't like not do something all day. One, because I have a lot of things to do. Two, because I just physically can't do it. Like I can, and I finally decided I'll take a few hours off. I'll take the afternoon off. And I was like, you know, between church services, I'll just like not do anything. And then I'll get back to work and I'll like kind of sit there. And man, I tell you that the doors that opened up from just sitting in peace and not feeling like I have to do things, like one, it was stressful at first. It's hard to let go. But once you start to like develop the habit, like, no, I just let this go for today. I can do it tomorrow. Right. I end of the week, I start setting things up so that nothing urgent is going to have to be done. Sometimes crazy things happen, but the majority of the times I can do that. Doesn't mean that I don't have to like feed the cats or, you know, take out the trash, but I'm not going to sit down and work on the podcast. I'm not going to feel the need to research for something. I'm not going to feel the need to go, you know, cover a shift somewhere. It's like, no, I'm going to take Sundays. I'm just going to rest. Right. And then Monday, if I need to work a little bit harder to catch up, that's fine. But the doors that opened up, the peace, when you start to let go of that stuff, it's like, and this isn't quite crisis management, but just understanding that, hey, I don't have to be constantly busy. That was like all of my value, as far as I was concerned, came from what I could give to people, came from what I could provide, came from what I had to offer. It's like, if I don't have something to give them, then they won't want to be with me. They won't want to spend time with me. They won't want to be around me. And I was like, oh, that's why I'm so like focused on work. It's because I feel like I have to be. And so now coming back and, you know, operating from a place of stillness of like, no, I'm working because I actually genuinely care. And it's not even that I want to do this show or necessarily even the other one. It's more that I know people need to hear certain things. And I know not everybody's going to like me, but I have too many people that reach out and say that I've changed their life, that I've gotten them through dark times. It's like I care about that tremendously. So it's work that's worth doing, but it's not work that I have to do to be valuable, right? Totally different situation. Never would have gotten there without rest. Never would have gotten there if I'm just plugged into the machine that I've created for myself, right? The system that I've developed, these habits that I've just gotten so sucked into because I got my nose to the grindstone. And that used to be my whole philosophy. Just focus on what's right in front of you. Just keep your nose down. Just keep working hard. Like, don't look up. You come up for breath like every 2 or 3 months, like every, once a month, just like take a look around real quick, make sure you're moving in the right direction, get back to it. And in a real sense, that actually does work. That does work, actually. I attribute a lot of success that I've had to just being able to focus really hard on what's right in front of me and just be in that moment. So I suck as much potential out of everything that I do as possible. And so like if I'm writing something, it's like every single word, all of my focus. That means that I'm getting much better practice than if I was kind of paying attention. Doing martial arts, every single tiny, minute detail of each form and each combination and each movement, like it gets all of my attention, which means that I get a lot more out of it than if I'm like sort of there and like just kind of going through the motions, right? You see what I'm saying there? But the thing is, though, that when you don't take rest, it messes with you. It distorts the way you see things. And you say, well, I don't want to sit and be still because I'm scared of what's going to come up. I need to distract myself. Yeah, that's all the more reason that you need to rest. You need to go sit and you need to learn to not feel like you have to constantly do things, because what happens is you get stuck running and you're always running and you can never stop running because you're just building up more and more of like this. It's snowballing out. It's getting bigger and bigger. And you're building up more things to run from. Because the longer you go on, the more pain you accumulate, the more you start to like solidify those fears, because you're building stronger and stronger habits, like those ruts that the tire tracks, they're getting deeper and deeper. So they're harder to change, right? So yeah, that's an important thing. And two, just in crisis management, it's like, I remember I've had times where it's like, no, you're pulling all-nighters. You have to, because life or death situation, and it happens. It really does. Or it's not, maybe not life or death in the sense of like physical death, but homelessness is a real possibility. You have to work. Like, people need your help. You need more money. You've got to get to it. It's like, okay, cool. It happens. And sometimes that rest looks like, I'm going to get 3 or 4 hours of sleep tonight. I'm just going to go do it. Right. I'm going to take, but if you don't carve out time to rest, and even sometimes it looks like your drive to work, I'm not going to listen to music. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. It's like that 20 minute drive. It's like, it's not enough, but it's what I've got. I'm not going to bombard my brain with something else. I'm not going to bombard my brain with the programming of the world. Whatever garbage comes out of Hollywood, they have my best intentions at heart. Sure. Yeah, the psychological programming that comes out of LA, that's totally good for you. Sure. Or Atlanta, whatever else. People that are obsessed with the work, people that are obsessed with getting things for themselves, and they're expressing themselves as artists. So what are they expressing? Well, they're expressing their pain. And so that pain resonates with you because it's touching on your pain. And see, here's the thing though, when it can feel like an emotional release to let that go, but it's fueling it, it's feeding it. Because when, like, if you're going through a breakup and you're listening to depressing music, for example, and what you might not realize is when things are in a resonant frequency, they excite each other. So the music, the concepts, the ideas, the subliminal programming that's coming in, not necessarily intentional. I'm not saying it all is. Some of it is. But like, even if somebody's just like, I went through this tragic time, here's my story. It's like, oh, wow, that's a really good song. I'm going to listen to it every day on repeat because it moves me. It's because it teaches me, touches me. It's like, I don't understand why I'm sad now. What did I say? It was there was a TV show that we were talking about recently. I said that was such a good show, but it was so bad. It was like well written, but it was so dark. And I was just like, I got done. I'm just like, I don't feel right. Like I shouldn't have been watched that show. It was not good because it touches on something inside of you that really shouldn't be there. And it is. And you start to feed it. It starts to get excited. It starts to get bigger. And these are unconscious forces that you can't really well articulate, which is a bad thing to feed. Because you can't see, it's an invisible hand. You can't see how they're pulling your strings. You can't see the exact effect that it's having. You just know that you feel different, that you feel depressed, right? And it's like, oh, I watched this horror show, or I watched this show about, I don't know, serial killers or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, that's feeding into my fear. It's so much fun. I love it, right? It's not good for you. You need to learn to rest from the things that this world tries to hand you as sustenance in the form of entertainment. Like, oh, well, just listen to this music. It'll be good for you. It's an expression. It'll make you, let it go. It's emotional release. It's like, no, that is a person who is pouring their pain into my soul. I don't want that. I want something that's uplifting. Oh yeah, let's only listen to hype stuff. Okay, cool. There's an artist who only cares about getting rich, making money, telling his story so that he can get attention. I don't want that pouring into my soul. I don't want that pouring into my unconscious mind. I want my mind renewed. I want my mind cleansed of all that. Am I saying you can't listen to music? No. I'm saying that you need to learn to disengage from the things that are not productive to you, from the things that put a strain on you, from the thing. Because if you say, well, I can't give up music, that's a problem. You understand that, right? Like that's an addiction. Oh, but music's not bad for you. It can be. It 100% can be. You think music can't change the way you see the world? That is, you are dead wrong about that. Oh, but it helps me. It's got me through dark times. Cool. And it cements those negative patterns into your behavior. You have to learn to rest from it. You have to learn to pull back from it. You have to learn to take a break. Although if you can't give it up, why? That's a good question to ask yourself. Well, I just don't have as much energy. Immediately, what happens after you go through withdrawals? What happens if you were to listen to only upbeat music that doesn't have any negative themes in it? Maybe no lyrics, maybe it's just different type of music. I don't know. I'm not saying that I have a specific artist that I want you to go listen to, just that I hear people that listen to really disturbing things. I get in the car with them, I'm like, what is wrong with you? I don't listen to this. And they watch TV that is all about sex. It's a lot of violence, a drama. It's like, is this entertaining? Maybe, sure. But when that's taking up hours of your day, when you're at your most vulnerable, when you're at your most relaxed, and you're going, oh yeah, I kind of look up to this person, I'm singing along with it. You think that doesn't program you? 100% does. You got to learn to rest from these things. You got to learn to rest from your work. You're not designed to work 24/7, 7 days a week. That's redundant, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I think I've made my point. Guys, it is so good to be back. I missed you. We'll get into the flow of things. I'm a little bit out of practice, but thank you for listening. I really do truly appreciate your time. Feel free, as always, to reach out to me online with all of your complaints. I'm just kidding. But no, for real, like actually reach out to me. I love talking to you guys. Thank you to everyone who just reached out like while I was kind of on my hiatus and just kind of let me know that they missed me. I really do appreciate that. It was touching. I know it wasn't super responsive, but it did mean a lot. So I appreciate that. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. And I will see you soon. Good luck.